It's November 17th, and this is cricket. My name is Adam Bannon, cricket educator. Liam?
I'm Liam Plunkett, professional cricket player and social media influencer.
Social media influencer team. This is cricket. We have a very special guest coming on to the show today.
For baseball fans out there, he doesn't need any introduction, but for the cricket fans, Yankees legend, MLB World Series winner 2009, MLB All-Star, and one of the few cricketers who's hit six at the Yankee Stadium. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a guy who has more energy than anyone I've ever met before, Nick Swisher. Welcome to That's Cricket.
Nick Swisher. So Nick, welcome to That's Cricket. You and Liam got to go out to Yankee Stadium. He got you introduced to the lovely game of cricket. How'd you find that, mate?
Oh, bro, hard. Way different than my sport for sure. And obviously going up against an absolute legend bowler like Liam. You know, he grooved a few in there for me to make me feel good about myself, but I'm sure he really, really could have taken advantage of me if he wanted to.
I think what was great was obviously meeting you and the energy that you bring. Very infectious, Nick, so I appreciate that. Next time I'll probably have a few Red Bulls and a few more coffees to match you a bit. But just your passion for the Yankee Stadium, you took me around the stadium, Monument Park. There was two kind of key figures, George Steinbrenner and Yogi Berra, who you talked about. Do you want to talk a little bit like that?
Yeah, for sure. I think just for myself, the fact that I was able to kind of get the keys to the castle, in a sense, to really give you a behind-the-scenes tour of exactly what Yankee Stadium is. That was one of the most fun days of the year for myself, not only to be able to go out and do my best to try and be the best cricket hitter that I could. But just in general, I think, you know, just being able to bring over someone like you, who's so well known in your own sport, but to be able to bring you over to our sport and the crown jewel of Major League Baseball, in my mind, Yankee Stadium, give you that behind the scenes tour for, you know, a lot of things that a lot of people probably haven't seen or can't see. So for myself, just to be able to be a host for you, Liam, to be able to bring you over, give you a little bit of what my world is all about, that was absolutely fantastic, man. I mean, Monument Park, that's our crown jewel of Yankee Stadium. And you're right, two of the most influential people over there, in my opinion, are George Steinbrenner, the boss, who really made the New York Yankees exactly what they are, and Yogi Berra, 10-time World Series champ. My adopted grandfather is what I called him before he passed away. But being able to have, you know, those two men in my life for a brief amount of time, I think I was very blessed, very honored to be able to know those two individuals.
Yeah, no, that's, awesome, mate. I've always wanted to go to the Yankees, ballpark, but I'm very glad I waited and had that experience with you. Baseball, cricket, very complicated games. We complicate ourselves. But it was one message that Yogi said to you was move up in the box. Has that just sort of stuck with you?
Absolutely. You know, Yogi's one of those guys where he had all the Yogi-isms, you know, the whole nine. Like, you know, nobody goes to that place anymore. It's too crowded, you know, or when you come to a fork in the road, take it. You know, it's just kind of, you know, one of those things where he was such a simple man and he made the game of baseball, like you said, which is very complicated, very simple. And for someone like me, who was just coming off of a World Series year in 2009, you know, went back to the drawing board, tried to retool my swing, try and fill in some of the holes that I had. You know, for myself, I'm a fastball guy, bro. I live up here. I like hitting the heat, bro. Like, I feel like I'm running at 120 miles an hour all day. So the fact that I was struggling with changeups, which is obviously, you know, almost like a spin bowler in a sense, really kind of, you know, takes a little speed off the pitch, looks like that fastball, but kind of drops there at the end. And I was just swinging over top of everything in spring training. And I was thinking to myself, man, I've worked so hard on this new approach, this new swing, you know, why is it not working? And Yogi just grabbed me, actually Ron Guidry, Louisiana Lightning, who's another gentleman in Monument Park, said, hey, Yogi wants to speak to you. And anytime Yogi Berra wants to speak to you, bro, you run your ass over to Yogi Berra as fast as you can. And I remember just sitting down with him and he was just saying, and I'm going to try and do my best Yogi. He was like, Nicky, it looks like you're swinging over top of the ball every time. And I'm like, you know, Yogi, I just feel like, man, I feel like I'm just right on it. And he's like, why don't you just move up in the box? And never in a million years did I think to myself, like, just move up in the box about 6 inches so that pitch that was kind of coming down a little bit once it gets into the zone is obviously raised up a little bit because of where you are in the batter's box. I mean, I'm thinking about my elbow. I'm thinking about where my shoulders are, like what my spine angle is, like all that stuff. But Yogi just really broke it down in such a simple way. And that was my best year that I've ever had statistically. Batting average wise, you know, made the All-Star team that year. Just got out of the gates, just flying right out of the gates, which was amazing. But being able to have people in your life like that, you know, that help simplify things, I think are absolutely crucial. So anytime that you get information from a 10-time World Series champ, Hall of Famer, baby, you take it and you run with it. And so I was just so blessed to be able to have that man in my life. And I still try to carry on his tradition of who he was as a man and the pride that he took in the New York Yankees. I try to continue to keep that going for Yogi.
That's awesome.
Love that. Love that. So you moved up in the batter's box to get a little better. How did you compare baseball swing to the cricket swing, being out there with Liam?
Yeah, way different. You know, even like kind of like how you hold the bat. You know, for in baseball, I feel like everything's kind of up here, and it kind of works from top to bottom. But in cricket, I mean, everything just kind of the front elbow leads. That's what Liam kind of taught me. You can see right here, this is a full baseball rip that I'm taking. Hey, there I go. There I go, down on my tail. That was Liam spinning balls on me right there, bro. That's what he was doing. But I just think in general, actually, after I kind of learned after we got through this session right here on exactly trying to lead with that front elbow, because one of the hardest parts about hitting a cricket ball is being able to get the flat part of the bat on it. Because in baseball, it doesn't matter. It's all round, so it doesn't matter how you get the bat to the ball. But in this, I mean, it was awesome, bro. Liam served me up a cookie on that last
He served cookie. You up a, we call it a pie.
Cookie. I just ripped that thing right out of the air, bro. I'm not waiting for that thing to bounce.
Yeah, you could have bowled it. You could have bowled him a little faster, Liam. You could have given him a bumper. You could have.
Oh, bro, what do you mean? The pitch before when I fell on my ass. That was the fast one, bro.
Swinging so high. We were talking about this earlier. In baseball, you're trying to swing as hard as you can. In cricket, you're not always trying to do that. You're simply trying to meet the full face of the blade and hit the ball and kind of guide it into the gap. The closest thing I can think about is kind of like a small ball. You're trying to just hit the gap and try to make it on the base. What's your thoughts behind like hitting home runs versus small ball? And what did you try to do when you were playing?
Yeah, so, you know, when I was playing, you know, I was kind of known for a little more of a power hitter than most. But kind of how I can relate kind of the cricket swing to the baseball swing is almost like what we call it is almost like a two-strike approach. You're really just trying to protect the strike zone, which is exactly what you're trying to do in cricket. You're really just protecting the wickets. And right. At the end of the day, you know, depending on what style of cricket you're playing, if it's a longer match or it's a, you know, a T100 or whatever it is, you know, I mean, for myself, I'm thinking if I've only got, you know, 100 bowls, I want to try and do as much damage as possible. But what you realize is that if you go up in there swinging for the fences every single time, your at bat is going to be shortly lived. So I think just for myself, you know, being able to talk to Liam and pick his brain about, you know, just the career he's had, as well as just kind of the little things in cricket that you don't really pay attention to. But obviously kind of watching him and him working with me a little bit later. I think next year, homie, when we get together, bro, I'm going to be a lot better for sure. A lot better.
I think you might need a better batting coach than me, mate.
Hey, cuz I'm talking to a world champ. Are you kidding me, bro? I'll listen to everything you tell me.
I'll dial him, man. Hey, take care of the balling. I'll take care of the batting. How's
I love
sound?
That. I love
sounds
that.
Sounds good. Okay, Nick. So you were known as one of the best switch hitters in baseball. We have a clip that we're going to roll because switch hitting does happen also in cricket. So we're going to play a little bit of your highlight of you doing a switch hit in a game. And then I'm going to get your opinion and on a cricket version. I like to call you now, you're the Glenn Maxwell of baseball. Okay, Glenn Maxwell is probably the peak switch hitter in cricket.
Let's go. I'll take it, boys.
Yeah, so that's how I'm going to refer you now to all the cricket fans. So here we go. Right-handed, bang.
Boom.
See you later. Here we go. Same game. You're going to change sides. Bang. See you later.
Now, on that switch hitting front, gentlemen, I will have to say that I do hold a major league record, which I hold near and dear to my heart. Myself, as well as Mark Teixeira, who, in my opinion, was one of the greatest switch hitters to ever play the game. Me and him hold the record with 14 times hitting a home run from the right-handed side and the left-handed side in the same game.
There you go. I knew we had a record. I knew we had it. We were talking about it pre. I knew you had the record. I knew you had it. How about that one? He's got the record.
He's got it. I
love that. So here we go. So now we're going to show you Maxwell here.
Standard right hand.
So right-handed to the spin bowler.
Yep.
Now he's going to actually change mid-ball.
Oh! Bro, the confidence you have to do that is insane. One of the other, and he ain't even wearing a helmet. I mean, what's doing?
Also with him, I know Maxi very well. He's got a new set of veneers. He need to protect.
Oh, yeah. He got to protect the moneymaker. I totally understand. I get it.
So I want you to talk to us about your switch hitting. When would you switch? What did you like to see from the pitcher to make sure you change? And why did you change? Or how did you even come into switch hitting?
I'm kind of going to give you a little bit of an example, right? Okay, sure. So one of the things in baseball that you try and do is you never want the ball coming from behind you, right? Okay. So for someone like me, who started off as a right-handed hitter in my life, you want a right-handed bat, but you want the left-handed pitcher. So the baseball is coming into you. Nothing's coming from over your shoulder. So you don't have to look back here. Everything is kind of coming in this general direction, more towards you. That's why a lot of, you know, sliders down and in, you know, spin bowls kind of down and in would really have some sort of an effect. But for someone like me, I mean, I was a right-handed hitter my whole life. It wasn't up until my senior year in high school, I busted up my wrist and I couldn't swing right-handed anymore. So I just started goofing around left-handed, just messing around with it. And I kind of realized very quickly that I could provide a little bit more sock, a little more thump, a little more power on that left side. And I remember some national cross-checker from the Texas Rangers back in 99 in Parkersburg, West Virginia. I could kiss this guy square on the mouth. He was just like, hey, bro, at some point, like, I really think this is something that would really elevate your game and something that I really think that you should keep on to. And so I listened to him. And for someone like me, I love versatility. I could play every position in the outfield. I could play first base. I could switch hit. There was always in my mind, I never wanted to leave the field. And so I thought if I gave my manager every option to be able to keep me in the batters, you know, in the lineup, whether it was a right-handed pitcher, left-handed pitcher, because what you see a lot in baseball now is called platoons. So you might have against a left-handed pitcher, a certain guy would play, and then against a right-handed pitcher, another guy would play. Well, I kind of combined those players together to be able to have that sort of versatility to be able to keep me in the lineup. Because, I mean, listen, I'm not a perennial all-star. I was never an MVP. But at the end of the day, bro, I never wanted to leave the field. And I think being able to switch hit really, really gave me an added advantage than more other players. The only thing that's different about switch hitting is it's double the work. So at the end of the day, you have to put, you know, the same amount of time that you do on one side on the other. And it's just like Joe DiMaggio said, it's very rare that you're going to feel good on both sides of the plate at the same time. And my guy, Joe D, homie, you were right, dude, because it's very rare that you feel really, really good on one side or the other. I am a bilateral dominant eye with a tendency to be a left eye dominant. So I felt like right-handed was a little easier for me to see the baseball. And now with the velocity that these guys are throwing, I mean, it's insane. It's just like, if you're not throwing 95, 96 miles an hour, you're not even getting sniffed to pitch in the big leagues now. So for someone like me, I love being on this side of the game now and just cheering and rooting the guys on as they go into the field of battle, which is really, really cool.
No, that's awesome, mate. When we went down to watch the guys doing a hitting practice before the game started, it was kind of fascinating that obviously Coach Boone, Stanton, Will Warren were intrigued by cricket, the cricket bat, the cricket ball. So it's kind of fascinating that they were interested.
Oh, big time, bro. I mean, listen, it was really cool to be able to bring those guys over just to kind of have those like kind of quick conversations. I mean, obviously, Aaron Boone, our manager, been there for almost a decade. You know, there's nothing in the game of baseball that he hasn't seen. But once again, is a position player, is a hitter. right? So we don't know a whole lot about, you know, the pitching aspects of things. So being able to bring over Will Warren, as well as Matty Blake, our pitching coach, who you had a really good conversation with, was really cool to kind of like see how you guys were holding the ball, kind of talking about grips, kind of like how to create more spin, how you create the velocity. So for me, just sitting there, just soaking all that information up, that was really, really cool. But I'm sure it had to be great for you, Liam, just to kind of talk to some major league pitchers, as well as, you know, one of the best pitching coaches in the game, in my opinion, in Matt Blake, talking about all that sort of stuff. Because one thing I noticed immediately is in cricket, there's kind of one seam that kind of goes around the ball. Obviously, mm-hmm. for baseball, we have, you know, two seam pitches. We have four seam pitches. You know, we've got slider grips, breaking ball grips. And I'm sure you guys have those as well. And I know you kind of hold it across the seams for your fastball, and then you can kind of hold it on the seams to really kind of spin the ball whatever way you want. That was really, really interesting for me as well.
Yeah, it was. To be honest with you, I'm stood at the Yankees field talking about cricket. It was very surreal to me. But to get inside knowledge about baseball and compare cricket to baseball in a good light, talking about bowling, talking about hitting, fielding, advantages of a home team, the stuff that you mentioned to me that I never thought about, how the groundsman would water the outfield to slow down the bunts and get into first base. It was all very fascinating. You've got a story about your family in the Bleacher Creatures?
Yeah, so I never watched you play. I grew up in Australia. We didn't watch much baseball growing up. But once I saw the video with you and Liam, and I told my family and friends that that was happening, all my family and friends are Yankees fans. And they wanted to say when I told you, like I said, I never watched you play, but everyone told me you were their favorite. And they loved being in the stands as Bleacher Creatures yelling to you. And they wanted to say thank you for always turning around, giving a wave, and saying hey. So I just wanted to mention that. You were everyone's favorite.
I appreciate you saying that, bro. That makes my absolute day. The Bleacher Creatures, boys, those are my people. And I claim them. I don't want anybody else claiming them because those are my people right there. You know, I feel like every stadium kind of has its little idiosyncrasies, for lack of a better term, or just kind of like the crown jewels in a sense. We talk about Monument Park, and obviously there's no doubt about it. But being able to go with the Bleacher Creatures, boys, those are the heart and soul of the New York Yankees. Those are the people that work the 9-to-5s, that scrounge up the money to be able to go to the games, that show up rain or shine. And if you don't have a group of individuals like the Bleacher Creatures, then you just don't have that core. And so I think for us in New York, being able to be part of the New York Yankee organization, there's a reason why they are where they are. Now, obviously the 27 World Series championships is one thing, but in my mind, it's the people. It's the individuals that love your team. Because for someone like me, I've tabbed myself as the people's champ. Because I've always felt like the reason why we were the superheroes or the celebrities that we are is because of the fans. And if we didn't have those sort of people, we would be nobodies. So I always tried to pay as much attention as I could to the fans, because those were the individuals that were showing up each and every day, spending their hard-earned money to come watch you play. So for someone like me, I tried to put on a show each and every day. I'm an entertainer. What can I say? I mean, I love being out there. I love being around the people. I love going out there and playing the game of baseball that I love to my core. And being able to have those people standing right behind me for 81 games a year, I felt like I was untouchable. I felt that I had a whole army of people behind me that could help me get through any sort of adversity that the game would bring, because you knew that you had those people behind your back. And I was very, very thankful for that relationship and continue to keep that relationship going strong.
I love that.
Yeah, they were awesome. I met the guys and the give me a little chant, which I was very excited about.
Yeah, you got a chant, bro. Like, that's insane. You were the first cricket player in the history of Yankee Stadium to get a chant, homeboy.
How about that one?
Mama made it.
You made it. You're in, dude. You're in. Hey, you are a New York City legend now, homie. For real. Right there.
We have, when you play for England, there's a traveling group called the Barmy Army. Very similar. They'll work hard, but they'll save up to follow the team. And it's not just around the UK. They'll go to Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, Australia. And that's the same. Sometimes you might be struggling on the pitch and then you get a chant, a song from the Barmy Army, and it gives you that little bit, 2%, 1%. But yeah, I appreciate the fans. They pay the hard money to come and watch you, but very similar type of people give you that good energy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, those are the people that make us who we are. And I feel like they deserve that respect. They deserve that love. And that's sort of one of those things that, you know, maybe I was just blessed to realize in life that at the end of the day, it's the taste you leave in people's mouth. It really, really is. This whole world is based on relationships. And for someone like me, I was able to learn that and experience that, in my opinion, at the highest level. So being able to have the Bleacher Creatures on my side, baby, I feel like I could roll down any street in New York City and I'm going to run into somebody that's going to be from the Bleacher Creatures. So for me, just to be able to experience all of that, fellas, it was just, I mean, listen, some of the best times of my life for sure. I mean, obviously, I feel like I'm in a good spot. Every day of my life is pretty damn good at this point. But being able to experience that for that run that we had, as well as that, you know, World Series run we had in 09, was something that I will never, ever, ever forget.
From also, the cap you're wearing fits perfectly into the Judge Burger. That was a nice bite of food on the bleachers. So, I mean, we tried all the Yankees food and the burger was a winner for me, mate.
Oh, bro, me too. I mean, I don't think there's anything better at a ball game. Maybe other than a hot dog. You know what I mean? A hot dog and a beer, burger and a beer. I mean, bro, but how about some of that food they had at Yankee Stadium? That stuff was insane.
I never ever thought I'd be sharing an ice cream dessert with you, mate.
Hey, it was damn good though, bro, wasn't it? It was pretty good.
It was sweet.
Love that. So, Nick, we want to hit you with some pressing questions right now. We're looking to get what's something you like in baseball that you'd like to see in cricket? Maybe a rule you'd like to see in cricket or something that they do in baseball that you don't do in cricket that you may want to, we should try that.
So I'm just now starting to get to know the cricket game a little bit and just understanding the rules and kind of how everything works. I wish there was some sort of an element of speed mixed into the game somehow. So almost like if there's somehow you could steal a base. I understand how, you know, after you make contact, you know, you run from side to side, which is where kind of the speed kind of comes into play. But I think it would be kind of nice if there was somehow, you know, because listen, not everybody hits every day. You know, sometime, you know, the bats get a little cold. And one of the things that we have in baseball where you can kind of combat that a little bit is being able to play a little small ball, you know, bunting over, you know, stealing bases, things like that. So being able to bring in a little speed aspect into the game, I think would be really, really cool to watch as a viewer, as of somebody who's just now starting to get into the game of cricket.
Yeah, so we kind of have that in a little way, this sneaky single. We don't see it as much as we used to now with the sixes being more dominant trying to be hit, but you can do a little bunt and run. We call it a sneaky single.
Oh, okay. Well, I like the sneaky single, bro. I mean, I feel like, you know, in the postseason, the sneaky singles come into play big time, especially in our game. I mean, you saw with the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Toronto Blue Jays, the Blue Jays were just extremely fundamentally sound with the bat to ball skills. And I think that was one of the reasons why. I mean, obviously you look at the mighty Dodgers with the Otanis of the world and the Freddie Freemans and the Mookie Betts and the Teoscar Hernandez. I mean, it's like you think of those guys as home run guys. But the one thing that I felt like the Toronto Blue Jays did a tremendous job with, obviously they slugged a lot and they hit, you know, doubles and home runs and the whole nine, but I felt like they had runners on base all day long, button runners over, you know, moving runners over from second to third. You know, I think small ball in our game is really, you know, it's not as prevalent as it once was because you're right. I mean, people pay for power. And at the end of the day, if that's what people are paying for, then that's what the industry is going to get. And so I think just in general, it's really cool to kind of see a team that might not have been the most home run happy team, you know, fight up against the Dodgers. And in my opinion, listen, I got to see Mookie Betts, you know, this last week when we were at the MLB All-Star Awards. And he was like, man, I was scared the whole time. I mean, that was such an amazing team. They had us on the ropes the whole time, but for some, you know, somehow, we were able to stay on our feet and win. So I just think in general, the World Series is obviously the crown jewel of our sport. And being able to have a tremendous World Series based up against, you know, we had so many international stars in this one right now. You know, we had our great Latin players. We had the whole country of Canada behind the Toronto Blue Jays. You know, Ohtani's really driving the international front I can't even, I think it was 10 plus million people in Japan were watching our game. I just think that's absolutely amazing. So being able to bring in the international side of what we're doing for Major League Baseball and having someone like a Shohei Ohtani who can really drive that force moving forward has really, really, really elevated our game. Can't thank those guys enough for all the exposure they've been able to give us.
From my side, there's one thing I bring from baseball to cricket, and it's sunflower seeds.
Oh, you love the seeds, bro. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Got it. Maybe, hey, throw in a little big league chew, bro, right? We'll give you the pouch of gum, right? The whole nine. You guys will be locked and loaded. Homie, I'm going to ship you a package of them just so you can have them over there.
We definitely don't have that in cricket. But you mentioned the World Series being the pinnacle of baseball. Liam and I are about to cover the Ashes, which we would call the pinnacle of cricket. Game two, I believe, went 6.5 hours. And it was like the longest game with double innings. The Ashes, it's five-day games of England versus Australia. Those games are going to go for 8 hours. It's 3 2-hour sessions. We break for afternoon tea. We break for lunch. Drinks breaks in between. That's our pinnacle. We're going to put you under the pump again. Can you give us a prediction? England or Australia? It's five games. How's it going to go?
Oh, bro. I mean, wait. So is it best of five or it's just total of five?
Best of five.
Oh, bro. No, I got England throwing this one down, bro. I got England on this one. I got a buddy now, so I'm a fan, bro. I got England taking this one down. I really think it's going to go quick this year. I really do. I think it's going to be a 3-1 win for England. I think they're going to bring it home. I should have worn my gear that you gave me, Liam. I should have had my shirt, my pants on, bro. But once the game gets going, I'll send you guys a video with my gear on for sure.
Yes, please.
There we go. Heard it here first. Nick Swisher, 3-1 England. They will play all five games. One thing that is different, they do have to play all five.
Oh, well, then in that case, the fifth total game, Australia's going to dominate that one because the match is already over.
So 3-2.
England boys would have drank the week before because they've already won the series.
Exactly. But by the way, I think that was kind of one of the things that I was most shocked about was when I was talking to Liam about how long the matches go. And obviously him being a bowler, the amount of distance that he has to cover in a match is insane to me. I mean, it just goes to show you how cardio really, really is a massive part of y'all's game, especially for the bowlers. And now with the pitch clock in Major League Baseball, the cardio aspect of everything has really, really taken over. That was one of the things that I really noticed when I started watching cricket was, you know, just what these dudes look like physically. Right? You don't see the bigger guys as much anymore. You see the kind of like you, Liam, you know, long, kind of, you know, slender guys, you know, really in shape dudes that, you know, because at the end of the day, you have to be able to have that juice in your lungs to be able to get you through a match. Because the last thing you want to do is have being tagged in by somebody or being able to, you know, not being able to hit the strike zone in a sense. But when you told me how much ground you cover in a match, bro, it about blew my lid for sure.
I appreciate the compliment, but I don't want to be the cricketer known to be juiced up.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No, exactly. It just in your lungs, bro, in your lungs.
I got it.
Yeah, I mean, for the baseball fans that don't quite realize, in these five-day games, there's no relief pitchers. All the bowlers, all the pitchers are on the same team and they have to be eligible to bowl all day for 5 days. So you may bowl 100 pitches in a day one day and you may bowl another 100 pitches 2 days from now. You have to be able to keep bowling and you have to rotate your five pitches throughout the 5 days.
Yeah, and not only that, he starts 70 yards behind where he's pitching,
in,
dude.
He runs
like,
in.
I'm like, homie, scoot up a little closer, bro. You know what I mean?
This year by year, it's got shorter and shorter and shorter.
Yes, I'm sure. But you know what I've noticed? Just when I was able to go and just seeing a cricket match in person over at Lord's, which was absolutely gorgeous. I would like to say that has to be a little bit of a crown jewel stadium for cricket in general. But it was also cool and interesting just kind of watching the different bowlers, right? With the fast bowlers, the distance that they covered was a lot more. But with the spin bowlers, obviously they were a little closer. What is that called? Like the pitch line that you have to throw?
Their run-up.
The run-up.
Run-up.
Yeah. So it was really interesting to kind of see that, you know, I mean, you guys got me all locked in on this cricket stuff now. Now I've got a new app and stuff. I follow Liam all over on Insta. I'm all over Liam's Cricket Foundation, the whole nine, bro. He's killing it, dude. Killing it.
Beach cricket next year, mate.
Hey, baby, call me. I'll be there, bro. I'll be there.
Love it. Here we go. So, Nick, thank you so much for being on the show. I want you to sign us off with a That's Cricket.
All right. Well, you guys are absolutely amazing. Liam, love you to death, bro. You're the best, dude. And gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen, that's cricket.